Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
One of the things that I love about the Apostle Paul, yes, his missionary zeal, yes, his ability to write and speak and persuade, but one of those things is in his writings, the athletic examples that he gives. Not that I was a great athlete, but I like to try, and I did play basketball and different things like that. So when he comes across about buffeting his body or running the race that is set before him, it really does get my attention. So our guest today is one who went to the Olympics in France, and then when he got back, he gave us a report of what the Lord had done. So you'll hear that in a few moments. But Nathan, it is sometimes we sow seed that we don't even know possibly that we've sown, and it just be a word, it could be an example, a service, and we never get to see all that the Lord has done. It makes me think of the song that was written, Thank You for Giving to the Lord, about in heaven. When he got there, some people came up and said, Thank you for giving to the Lord. We don't always see the results, do we?
No, and it's not for us to always see those, and it's not for us to try to control and manipulate results so we can feel good about ourselves or what we've done. A lot of work that we do in sharing the gospel, sowing the seed, making disciples, it's about entrusting to God the results. It's in His control. We're simply to be faithful to what He's called us to do. However, at the same time, when there are results, or even just simply tracking our actions and our activity and what we've done and what we want to do, part of that faithfulness is recording that correctly, reporting that honestly, and celebrating what God is doing. It's a joyful thing. It's a celebration to see when God changes lives. Or even it can be joyful in just the faithfulness of the work and celebrating, hey, here's what God allowed me to do. And that's good. That's not a bad thing. It's good to do that. That's part of it. That's part of the work, is to record it, to report it, to share in the need for further work. And that goes on all through the New Testament as you read that. And the disciples, the apostles, learned that from Jesus even.
Yeah, he would send them out, and then he would bring them back, and he said, tell me what happened. Kind of report accountability.
Yeah. Luke 9, verse 10, he says, when the apostles returned, he sent the 12 out in the first part of Luke 9, and then verse 10, when the apostles returned, so there's a return, you return to Jesus, you take some time away from the work to just be with Jesus, to return to him, recharge and refresh and
report.
Yeah. And then they reported to Jesus all that they had done.
Yeah.
So it says he took them along and withdrew privately. And it says to a town called Bethsaida. And then the rest of Luke 9 is about the big interruption of the crowds. Their debrief that they were going to go through got interrupted. And you could read more about that in Luke 9. But that was the point. They were to come off the work, that season of sowing, and report about what the results were.
Now, when we get to heaven, we know we're going to be, quote, at the judgment seat where God gives rewards. For those that have been faithful over certain areas, you can identify at least five different, you can call them crowns or medals, that God just takes notice and gives to. There may be a lot more than that, so I don't want to limit to that, but we know that many is in there. So God himself comes back, and he said, you who have been faithful over a few things, I'll make you master over many. So does it sound like God does keep an account? And I trust his accounting more than anyone else's. So God does notice what takes place, doesn't he?
Absolutely. I don't want to get too deep theologically here, but basically your call in every follower of Jesus is called in some capacity.
Everyone.
Everyone.
Amen.
Your baptism is your commissioning. We've been called to serve the Lord in this world in some capacity. The capacity from which we are called to serve in those specific areas, that's our authority that God has given us. We have authority. Some of us have very little authority. It might be just in my own household, but it could extend to larger and larger spheres where we have influence and impact in people's lives. We're to use that authority, but we're in that authority, we're to go out in Jesus' name and his authority, and we proclaim the good news of Jesus, and we heal the sick, and we cast out demons, and all the things that he gives us to do, the authority to do, to bring wholeness into the world, to see his kingdom advance. And so as we extend that authority, we have to report back to the one who gave us the authority. And, hey, are we doing what you called us to? Here's what we've seen. Here's the results. Are we being faithful to what you've called us to do?
You know, when I hear that, I can't help but think what I heard years ago. You don't hear it very much anymore about the most important job in the world is probably a mother because of her shaping. You don't hear it a lot anymore because I think, honestly, motherhood has been placed on a lower shelf than it should be on, I think, the highest shelf. But those of you who are listening that may be moms at home and you're a mom at work, you're in your balance in this, I just want to tell you, your work is not in vain in the Lord, is it?
No, it's not.
God is able to do it, great and exceeding things above that all we could even ask or think. So get ready for heaven. And one of those ways to get ready for heaven is to hear God say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." I pray that that's your calling. And I pray that you'll enjoy this interview about a report that was given as they were ministering in the name of the Lord in an unusual way. They don't know the final results, but in heaven, they'll know. So enjoy this interview here on Exploring Missions. Welcome to Exploring Missions today as we are going to follow up on an interview that we did a few months ago, and we're excited on follow-ups. We've done that quite a bit, and today our guest is Brian Berry. And Brian, thank you for joining us on Exploring Missions.
Oh, thank you for having me back. It's a wonderful opportunity.
And you have gone not quite halfway around the world, but I'd say a quarter of the world since we've interviewed you and gotten back into the United States. I just want to ask you one quick question. How was Paris, France?
It was great. Interview over.
I just had to ask that. A lot of the folks I know that's been to Paris, they stopped through on somewhere else. But
yes,
you
sir.
Went there. How long were you there for the Olympics?
I was there from July 22nd until August 16th. So I was there a long time.
Okay. Well, it sounds like the accent stayed true, and so that's good. So we're proud of that. But I know the reason you went over to be a witness for Christ. So for those that did not hear that interview, tell us what your purpose was, and then we'll go into how it operated and what took place.
Yeah, yes, sir. About 2 years ago, a missionary friend of mine in France, he was thinking about how the Olympics were going to be coming to Paris, and he was just really burdened that there was millions and millions of people that were going to come to Paris for the Olympics, and there would be people there that we could potentially reach for the gospel if we went to Paris that we would never reach otherwise. And so I was able to be part of something called Project Paris 2024, where over 3 weeks of the Olympics, we had different teams each week, and we went out and we just shared gospel tracts on the streets of Paris, by the Eiffel Tower, by different sporting event locations, and all over Paris, and we were sharing the gospel with thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and our motto was, as the world comes to Paris, we will be there to share Christ with the world. A lot of prayer, a lot of planning, a lot of fundraising went into this, and now being on this side of it, we can definitely say it was a huge success, and we're thankful that God allowed us to go.
Well, I am thankful you got to go as well. When you say you had tracks, did you have it tracks in different languages, or do you use just the English language and hopefully they can get it, or how did that work?
Yes, sir. The track that we developed, on the front of the track, There was a picture of a man running, and the track just said, "What if somebody already won the race for you? Scan to find out who did." And there was a QR code. So the track was written in English, and on the inside, there was information like emergency numbers for the police and different things, and there was a schedule for the Olympics. But on the back cover, there was four different gospel Bible verses. But on the front, the big thing was we had a huge QR code. And if people would scan the QR code, whether they spoke English or not, it would take them to a website we developed called parisoutreach.com. And it would share the gospel written in many different languages. It would also connect people to a gospel preaching church in their area. They could submit prayer requests. There was a link to the Jesus film. It also had a link to the Bible in their language. But they could actually translate through Google our whole website in any language. And so regardless of the language someone spoke to, a language was not going to be a barrier between us getting to share Christ with them.
Isn't that amazing that we live in the times which that can happen? Mm-hmm. I know there's concerns with internet, and there should be. But, man, the opportunity that gave you guys is just beyond anything that we could have ever thought about. Even 50 years ago, they'd say, how in the world can you do that? But because of modern technology, that's using the message of Christ and using what we have to carry it around the world. So literally, in Paris, the gospel was carried around the world by the way you guys did that.
Yes, sir. Well, and let me just share something really exciting. As we were able to track where people scanned the QR code from. So obviously, a lot of the vast majority of our scans came from Paris. But there was actually people who scanned the QR code. And the only way that's possible is that someone in Paris received a tract and took it home with them and scanned it when they got home. People in Tunisia, people in Morocco, and people in Algeria all scanned the QR code in their country. So that means that somebody received a gospel tract, took it home with them, and scanned it when they got home. And what's exciting about those countries is those are three countries where we couldn't just go and share the gospel. It'd be much harder. And so our goal in reaching people in Paris that we could never reach on their home turf, God certainly blessed in that way. And that's just one small example of that.
When I hear that story, it's amazing. See what God did at Pentecost as all the Jewish people from the Roman Empire was there for this great, great meeting. And yet they were from everywhere, so they could go back and carry the message of Christ to the Roman Empire. So here they come to Paris, and through this ministry, they're able to take not only for themselves, but they go back and they can able to share it with others, kind of that ripple effect. Sir. That's missions, I would say, compounded. So that's great.
Amen.
Well, I wanted to ask this, and there's a lot of other questions, but if someone wanted to say, man, I like that, I know they can. There's a website, Project Paris, that they can go to and find out some more information. I know it's in past, but a lot of folks want to say, what did God do? Where can they go to find that out?
One of the best places is if they just go to our Facebook page. You can go to Facebook and look up Project Paris 2024. And if you go on that page, it'll actually show you pictures from different days. We're out there passing out tracks, and we shared a lot of the numbers on the page. And so I would highly recommend if you want to learn more and see what God did in Paris, go to Project Paris 2024 on Facebook. You can also go to Scent Incorporated, scentinc.org/Paris, and there'll be some information there you can read. But the Facebook page is great because you'll get to see the faces of people from all over the United States and all over the world who came to minister with us in Paris.
So other countries besides the U.S. was there sharing Christ?
Yes, sir. We had a missionary lady from Romania who came over and joined us. We had a couple people from Canada who came over and joined us as well. And then off the top of my head, I don't know how many U.S. states, but people from all over the United States came. But even some people not just from America who came and joined our outreach event.
Well, that is amazing. When I hear Romania, it always gets my attention because one of my heroes was in Romania, and just God did a great work in him even before the Soviet Union fell and they were dominated by them. But What a great, great opportunity this has been. And I praise God. Is there any way that you're going to be able to trace the possibility of those people that downloaded this and then they respond? Is there a possibility of them getting back to you guys to let you know what took place?
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, there's ways through our website that people can have contact with us. So, yeah, so we're looking forward to those communications and looking out, and specifically because we want to be able to there's people that we met in Paris who they said, hey, thank you so much for giving me this track. I'm a born-again believer. Is there anybody that you know who preaches the gospel in my country? And we said, yes, go to parisoutreach.com and contact us through that, and we will get you in touch with gospel-preaching churches in your country. And so there's already some of those communications that are going to take place with people who we met in Paris who are like, I believe in Jesus Christ for salvation, and I want to know more. I want to grow in my faith, but I don't know that if there's a church anywhere around me, how can you connect me? So we want to help people with that as well, because ultimately this was an outreach event, but we know that outreach is the start. After that, there's the discipleship aspect, and we want to help people, once they come to know Christ, grow in their knowledge of him.
So those who are listening today, pray that Project Paris 2024 continues. I know the event is over, but God is still using that material and those connections and those relationships, even with the churches, to continue that work. And this is exciting. And Brian, when I hear that, it just lets us know how missions work. It's not just converts, but we're looking at disciples and finding that church that loves the Word of God, teaches the Word of God in a location really helps. So our guest today is Brian Berry, and he went to Paris, France during the Olympics, and there they were ministering with tracts and witnessing, and he's back home now, and he's sharing a little bit of what took place. Let me ask you this. If you had to say a highlight or two or three highlights that you experienced while you were there, does anything come to your mind?
Yes, sir. Right off the top of my head, one thing that's really neat is that through our outreach, whenever we would meet people on the streets, kind of the way that would work is we would just say bonjour, or just say something to you know, and try to greet them friendly and try to hand them the track. And then when they would stop, we would ask them, well, you know, where are you from? And people, so many people were in Paris. And then from there, we try to get into gospel conversations. And the gospel was able to be shared, I know for a fact, with two people from Afghanistan and one person from North Korea. And through Project Paris 2024, whenever we would ask people, oh, where are you from? We would try to remember the different countries. And to our knowledge, we gave gospel tracts to people from 95 different countries in the world. And so for me, just the highlight is I'm actually going to post it on the Facebook page. I made a map with pins of all the different countries where we were able to give a track to. And to me, that is just exciting to look at a map of the globe and say, wow, you know, the gospel was able to be spread throughout the world because we went to Paris. And so I would just say, in a general sense, that really is exciting to me. But another thing that just stands out to me that was really neat, almost more so in a heartbreaking way, is there was this group of three teenagers who came up to me and another man, and we handed them a tract, and they said, oh, cool, what is this? And we said, oh, that's about Jesus. And one of the teenagers, they were from some European country, said, awesome, who's Jesus? And as Americans, we just, you hear that there's people all around the world who don't know Christ, but we just saw so many people face to face who you say, oh, this is about Jesus, and they have no idea who you're talking to. And it was very eye-opening to us being there, just how desperately this world needs Christ. But it's like the Bible says, they're not going to know unless someone tells them, and no one can tell them unless they're sent. And so we're thankful for the people who sent us to Paris to share the gospel, because it was very eye-opening to see how many people had never heard of Christ. But just very briefly, let me tell you, to me, what probably the most exciting thing is that made the whole trip possible, because between everybody raising their funds to come, all the fundraising we did, I believe that it was over $300,000 to make this project happen. But on one of the last days we were out passing out tracts, One of the members of our team, his name's David. He was a pastor from West Virginia. He was able to lead a young man to the Lord on the streets of Paris. So it was a young man from Congo, and he was able to talk to him, walk him through the plan of salvation. The man recognized his need of salvation and his sinfulness before God. And right there on the streets of Paris, that man prayed to receive Christ as his Savior. And I believe there's a lot of fruit we'll see from this outreach. But even if that's the only person who came to know the Lord as Savior, the whole thing was worth it.
Amen. I got a feeling when you get to heaven, there's going to be some people walking up to the ones who went to Paris, and they're going to say, thank you for coming. I'm one of those that got the message of Christ in my country. Listen, God, his economy is different than ours. That one is, you never know what that one will do, and I've got a feeling there was a lot more than that that came to know. The other thing I'd want to share is there's power in the name of Jesus. Just mention his name. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. So at the name of Jesus, walls come down. They really do. And I found this out to be true, Brian, and this is Exploring Missions, so we also talk about how God works. Usually, that may be a seed that was planted in Paris, but there may be some people in those countries that they go back to that they don't know about, but God's going to do a great connector of connecting them with the people, and then they're going to be brought. So, yeah, I know. I heard about Jesus. Yes, I remember being in Paris, France, and they were telling me about that. Tell me more. So that's how God operates, and I praise God for that. So tell us again. They can go and see if I got this right. I'm going to try it. Facebook, and they can go to Facebook, Project Paris 2024, and they can look at the pictures and see the reports. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yes, sir. And tomorrow we're going to have a meeting about kind of just going over all the data, because we even did Facebook advertising, and over 500,000 people were reached through social media, and there's just a lot of numbers. And so tomorrow we're actually having a follow-up meeting, and I'm going to make a post on there, kind of just a big follow-up. So by the time people are listening to this, all of that data will be available to them if they want to hear how God worked in Paris.
Amen. One more thing I wanted to cover. I know you're waiting to go to Ireland, and I know you're waiting, and we're still praying. How can we pray for you concerning headed to Ireland?
Yes, sir. Well, a couple things you can pray for. Number one, when we talked the first time, I had just got engaged. So one thing to pray about is just there's a lot of logistics with getting married and getting over to Ireland as a couple with my fiance Monica once we're married. But the biggest thing is just pray for my visa. I'm currently waiting for that to be approved. There's a lot of bureaucracy and just a lot of red tape to go through. And I'm just waiting with expectation. I'm ready to go as soon as God allows to Ireland. There's a lot of stuff waiting for me there. And if people could just pray that my visa would be approved, that would be such a huge blessing. And if anybody's interested in learning more about what I'm going to go do in Ireland, you can go to Brian2Ireland, T-O, Brian2Ireland, Brian2Ireland.com. And that's my website, and it has my video. It has all my plans on there, a little bit more about myself. But I would love it if people would follow along and see what God's using me to do.
Amen. That sounds exciting. Now, you may not know this, but I'm going to go ahead and ask. Ireland's big enough. Are you knowing the area that you will be going to, or are you still waiting to see after the visa has been approved?
I know exactly where I'm going to. I'll be moving to a town called Fermoy, F-E-R-M-O-Y. It's right outside of Cork, which is the second largest city in Ireland. It's a town where there's never been a gospel-preaching church. We are going to establish Bible studies and adult sports outreach, and I teach guitar, and I'm going to be using that to reach people. So there's lots of ministry plans in Fermoy, but with the ultimate goal of starting churches, reaching people, making disciples that make disciples, and then starting churches all over Ireland. So there's a lot of work to do, but I'm excited to get there and get started, preaching the gospel there.
Is the English language the primary language with just the Irish brogue? Is that the language that you'll be speaking?
Yes, sir. They do have a language called Irish or Gaelic, but anybody that I would try to learn Irish to speak to, they are fluent in English. So as an American missionary, that makes it a huge advantage because I don't have to spend years learning a language because I'd like to think I'm pretty fluent in English.
Well, amen. Well, you know, when I hear this, you went to France and you did not have to learn French. You were able to greet them and give them a tract. But in Ireland, those barriers, the language does not exist. So it's going to be a great work there, and we're going to trust God for that. So we're going to be praying for you that God would grant those visas and your marriage with Monica would take place. And I know you guys are excited about that. But I want one more request for you. I want you to know that you let us know when those visas are granted and you're headed that way so we can even bombard heaven for more prayers. And so we want to hear from you, brother, if that's okay. We want to follow you. Okay.
Absolutely. Hey, I would love that. I would love that. And I appreciate the prayers and the encouragement for sure.
Well, Brian, thank you for being with us. As I said earlier, our guest has been Brian Berry. He has been to Paris, France for the Olympics, and we're getting this report, and we're excited about what God did. And again, you can go to his Facebook page, Project Paris 2024, and you can look at what he did and what that ministry did while they were in France. And now he's waiting to go to Ireland, and you can go to Brian to Ireland, T-O, BrianToIreland.com, and follow that. And maybe we can even know that. But for those that don't keep up with web pages and all of Facebook, we can do it by radio. But Brian, we're excited. Thank you for being with us, brother.
Thank you for the opportunity. It's been a great blessing for me to get to share with you.
Thank those of you who've heard Exploring Missions today. And we pray that God would bless you and let you be a witness for our Lord Jesus Christ.